hatred and violence escalating daily, and we hear about it in the world and we say, what can we do? Jesus Christ gave us an answer, and Orthodoxy, the most ancient of all Christian traditions, shares it with us. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, sharing that vision and connecting dots. This is episode number 544 of The Next Step. We're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. Here, Father Voskin provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Have you ever tried to light a candle in the darkness? I mean real darkness. You light it and it lights up. Sure, you could see a few things, right? But it's not enough, is it? It's not enough. I think that's what we're facing right now. You want to light up darkness with a little bit of light. Never enough light. What does the Gospel of John say? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Yes, Christ's light. This is a reading from the first sentences of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life is the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's nice, but let me tell you, there's a lot of darkness out there. I had notes for today's podcast. We were going to go in a different direction. I shared with you last week, having returned from Armenia, some of the enthusiasm, what I wanted to share with you about spirituality, what we're going to be doing, but I need to take a break because too much of that darkness is all around us. Let me say, I'm not going to bring you down today. I want to just share with you some very personal feelings that I have, where we're going, what Christianity is about, why Christianity is falling short, why we cannot take that next step, that important step. And I hope that you're going to be able to follow along because I'm very, very frustrated this morning as I woke up very early in the morning to the news that right out here in Thousand Oaks, there'd been another shooting. Thousand Oaks is just a little outside of L.A., I'd say about a 40-minute drive from where I'm at in L.A. I'm very familiar with the area, having family that lives there, having a very close friend that lived there, and being very familiar with the area. It's considered one of the safest areas, not only here in California. In all of America. Yeah, look it up, Thousand Oaks, California. Very, very safe area. And yet, a gunman goes in there, and I don't know all the details. He goes in there, shoots 12 people. He's killed. There's 13 people dead at the end of this shooting. And just last night, I was reading Time Magazine's cover story that came out in the November 12th edition, and it caught my eye because the word of it is the cover story is beyond hate. And let me tell you something, my frustration, this is exactly right out of the pages of The Next Step. It's exactly. How many times have you heard me talk to you about you don't fight fire with fire? You fight fire with water, right? So what do I see? The Only Way Forward is an article that headlines this Time magazine. It says it's by Nancy Gibbs. Hate, among all our base instincts, is the most distinctly human. In animals, violence and venom are tools of survival. In humans, of supremacy. And I went on reading through this article, and I could swear that this is something that we could have written. Easily we could have written. In fact, we have written it. For the past 11 years, what have we been talking about here on Next Step? What is Armadoxy all about? How many times have you heard me talk about the common goal that we have is towards peace? And yet I feel like today I sit here, one hand clapping by myself. One hand clapping. What's the sound of it? Can you do it? Does it make a sound? And I feel very, very, very frustrated today. I feel let down. I feel betrayed. And I want to share that with you, my listeners, because I also want to talk about what we need to do. I don't want to just end it in some kind of a negative thing, but I do feel betrayed. I've come out and I've shared with you as a priest what our faith is all about, the beauty of our faith, about a Christ who connects us to the beginning of the universe, about Jesus Christ who transcends and gives us the opportunity to transcend. And yet we come back down to the small little things. I don't think I can take it one more time. People coming up to me, how come women aren't allowed at the altar in the Armenian church? Ooh, wow. Where'd you come up with that one? You know why they're not allowed? Because you're not going up there. You come armed with Christ, that there is neither male nor female, and you exert your right and you do what you have to do. But no. We want to play victim, don't we? Why don't they allow cremation in the Armenian church? You want to be cremated? Go be cremated. Who's going to stop you? Do you really care what the Armenian church says? No, but we have a lot of these nifty kind of excuses for not exerting our faith. And so I sit here for the last 10 years, the last decade of my life, talking about this faith that we have, about peace, which is possible, about Armenian Orthodoxy as being a model, a group of people who have lived at the crossroads of three continents, and every barbarian has gone through there. And yet we have survived, we have flourished. Why? Because the power that we have in our faith. And yet we still sit around and saying, that's cute, that's Armenian, but look what's going on in the world. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. Listen to this. I told you that this could be written right out of the Next Step playbook. And by the way, when we get into section two of today's podcast, I'm going to go into what we can do, some positive ways. But I do want to set the groundwork for this, because this is very, I'm reading this and I'm saying, wow, did somebody listen to the Next Step? I mean, maybe I'm imagining that I'm a person clapping with one hand. Maybe there are people that are listening. I don't know. But this is strangely spooky. Listen, this is from Nancy Gibbs, Time magazine. We're having a masterclass of hate because we've no choice. It has moved from the part of our character we work hardest to suppress to the part we can least afford to ignore. Hate slipped its bonds and runs loose through our politics, platforms, press, private encounters, and the further it travels, the stronger it grows. People unaccustomed to despising anyone ever find themselves so frightened or appalled by what they see across the divide that they are prepared to fight it hand to hand. Calls for civility are scorned as weak, a form of unilateral disarmament. President Trump calls for unity in the same breath that he undermines it, demoralizing adversaries, minimizing threats, trivializing trauma. We didn't consider canceling a political rally out of respect for the slain. He considered it, he said, because he was having a bad hair day. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound like right out of the next step? Where I share with you that we have Jesus Christ in the center of our church. And what are we doing? We're marketing all the excesses, aren't we? Oh, come, because we have beautiful food that you can taste and savor. Our food fair, our picnics are the best. How about saying our Christ is the best? Our light is the best. How about sharing with the world what we have? But no, 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 no. And the article continues. He talks about Trump. And you know what? I'll go on record. I am on record. Hey, thank God we have these podcasts. There they are. Go listen to it. I never wanted to get into the politics. In fact, right at the beginning, when Trump was first elected and there was this polarizing wave throughout our country, I said that we've got to stop this polarization. And people said, oh, look, he's showing his Democratic colors. He's upset because the Republicans, and this isn't about Republicans and Democrats. It's about the light. It's about what it says here in the gospel. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Can we believe that? Can we believe that there is a light? I've shared with you the miracle that we have as Armenian people. That there was supposed to be one left in a cage. There was supposed to be one. This was direct quote by the Turkish authorities. There will be one Armenian left that will put in a museum so people could look at it and say, that was an Armenian. And today, not only are we around, we're flourishing in four corners of the world. You're seeing more and more Armenians. I mean, I've shared with you just this past summer. Look at the places I've been to. I can't even believe it. Boise, Utah, Nebraska. I'm going to places and I'm going, whoa, this is wild. And last week I got back from Sasnashen and I shared with you this dream that's out there. And yet we're still talking about the wrong things, aren't we? We're Armenian. This is great. First Christian nation. Yay, let me get a flag up. Oh, woe is me. We're the first Christian nation, but we were also the first victims of genocide. Oh, yeah, the big genocide card. You weren't killed in a genocide. Your grandparents were. They sacrificed. But somehow we won all the glory as if that's glory. There was a genocide. It happened to us. What's that famous line that they use? And they even make t-shirts out of it. Our wounds are still open. You know what kind of wounds we have? Prosperity? Jeez. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. I'm sitting here and I'm reading this and I continue to read through it and I'm going, wow, this is the sound of one hand clapping. It's everything I've said. Everything I've shared with for the past 10 years. And now we're seeing it unfold on the national stage. And we as Armenians, as an Armenian church, as Armadoxy, should have been there to be answering that, and we're not. Let me read on a little bit more. She says, here then is the challenge. Our normal responses aren't working. Does that sound familiar? Have you heard me say that? Our normal responses are not working. You can't fight fire with fire. You've got to fight it with water. You can't beat hatred with more hatred. God rest his soul. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said it so eloquently, didn't he? He said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. It doesn't make sense. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Light, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And before Dr. King said it, the Lord of this universe, Jesus Christ, said it. God incarnate said it. And guess what? The Armenian Apostolic Church connected to that. Has that message to deliver. But we've kept our mouths shut. Oh, yeah. Because we have picnics. We have kebab. We have drinking, we have music, and look at our beautiful culture. We have 36 letters that we added 3 more to, and now we have 39. It's so beautiful. Forget the fact that we established this to translate the scriptures. No. We have this. And we've somehow convinced ourselves and are convincing ourselves that it doesn't matter. You know, our pilaf, our food, our beings are somehow there. They exist regardless of the God card. We don't need God. We don't need God. You go into some of the Armenian churches, there's a real good one. Check it out, what happened this past week in Toronto, what's going on in New York with real estate and everything. People are coming out of the woodwork. This is an Armenian institution. We have to save it. And it's not an Armenian institution. It's God's institution. It's in God's hands. No. We don't want to say that. Let me read the last part of this article. It's very frustrating for me, but it's very telling because it's, like I said, it's almost like the next step rewritten. So what to do, it says. If our past is a guide and comfort, it comes from where it always comes from. Look left, look right, not up or down. Leadership lies with the spirit of the Tree of Life Synagogue, where victims included the dentist who offered his services at the free clinic, the brother who had not an ounce of hate in them, as their rabbi said at their funeral, the couple married there more than 60 years ago, all mourned by the thousands who came out to stand vigil in silent solidarity. It lies with the postal workers going about their work, even as more mail bombs turned up, and the neighbors in Kentucky who, in the wake of the grocery store shootings, held a community meeting to discuss race and violence. In other words, it's in our hands. Stop looking elsewhere. Stop looking up or down, right? Have you heard me talk about got to get over this idea that God is a Santa Claus ready to come down from heaven and share his toys? I mean, this is right out of the Next Step playbook, isn't it? Let me keep reading. If the opposite of love isn't hate, but indifference, then the antidote to hate is engagement. The sound of one hand, right? You see why I'm frustrated this morning? For 10 years, we've been talking about it. And now here, it's almost like, well, that's okay. That's okay. There's always opportunities to go forward. Let me read it again. If the opposite of love isn't hate, but indifference, then the antidote to hate is engagement. It comes from people who spent the weekend knocking on doors and staffing phone banks to get out the vote on election day. From the enterprise of technologists looking for ways to drain some of the toxins from our information streams. From employees who are letting their bosses know what kind of humane, sustainable culture they expect in one of the richest countries on earth. From church groups and civic clubs and marchers raising money for clothing drives or breast cancer research or tree planting. From teachers staying after school to tutor and coaches teaching their players about the difference between an opponent and an enemy so they can take that wisdom with them into the public space that feels less like a sport than a war. Oh, isn't that beautiful? That she wrote this, right? Of course, on the next page, you start reading about, you know, the sports figures who are making these incredibly absurd amounts for tossing a ball from one side of a field to the other, you know, in the millions, millions, millions of dollars. And the only way that they can sustain that, of course, is to build up that testosterone and you know, fight it out. But at least on this page, it sounds good, doesn't it? Now let me go on. Finally, it says, leadership will come from uncountable individuals, decisions to model kindness, to fight alienation, to get offline and into the streets or the classrooms or the sanctuary and help somebody in trouble. Yes! Yes! This much is clear. Whatever happens on Tuesday, and this is a reference to the midterm election I was speaking about earlier, no one is coming to save us. We'll have to do this ourselves. Did you listen to Next Step 2 editions ago where I spoke about the Savior, where I spoke about the Second Coming, looking for a Savior? It just sounds exactly out of this article, except we predated the article by about 13 billion years. At least by 2,000 years. At least by 1,700 years. At least by 2 weeks. I'm not saying because we were the first. I'm saying let's stop reinventing the wheel. Let's get the word out of what we have. Let's start believing in what we have. Let's understand what we have. The power of a God that can transform us. I'm going to put a link on today's show notes to this Time Magazine article. I really, really encourage you to check it out. Everything that's been written over here. There's a wonderful article about Matthew Shepard's lasting legacy. This is just a couple days before these shootings, before the tragedy at the synagogue. I was reading about Matthew Shepard. You remember him? Yeah, we talked about him. Yes, we did. We talked about him. And actually, we're going to touch on it a little bit in the second portion, because we're going to talk about ways that we can make a difference, not being hypocritical. And if you remember at that time, I shared with you about Matthew Shepard, about the importance that we need to not look at it as a gay issue, but an issue of understanding, of tolerance, of differences. Yeah, your Father Voskin goes out on a limb and he tries to support people who are different. And said people of saying that, yeah, we'll stand up with you. Hey, keep up the good work. But we're going to be silent about it, you know? We're not going to tell other people about it. Because we're embarrassed. Yes. The embarrassment guard. There's a great article in the same Time magazine, In Darkness, We Must Be Light. Have you heard that? Yeah. And then talking about when leadership fails. Excellent, excellent, excellent edition of Time magazine. I invite you to take it. It's perfect. We add the perfection to it, because we align it with something that is greater. This is a very secular understanding of what we can do. And unfortunately, they don't make that next leap, that quantum leap that you need to do, that there is an opportunity for us to tap in to the beginning of the universe. And this is where Armadoxy comes in. This is what Armadoxy is all about. This is us understanding that there is a sound of the universe. In every Armenian song, there is the damkash. There is the dam. There is that steady, that steady hum in the background. It goes on in every Armenian hymn in the church. It's the drone. It's reminding us that all the layers that we put on are our doing, but underlying is the one layer that is from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Take a break right now. We're going to play a song today. It's a song, old song, that I really, really enjoy. Heard it being played live in Armenia. And kind of like, you know, it's one of those tunes that you can't get out of your head. It's been like that for a couple weeks now in my head. Sari Akhchig. And this is by a band called Gata. Yeah, the Gata band. Hope you enjoy it. And when I come back, we're going to be talking about what we can do. I don't want to just end it by saying, hey, it didn't go this way. And I don't want you to think that I'm saying, hey, look at me. I thought of this earlier before everybody else. No, I'm talking about how can we start clapping with two hands? How can we start getting this message out? The challenge is, okay, we have that message. Let's get it out. So start clapping with this one. This is called Sari Achik Gata Band.
Vaksinetsi puştaraf Dele yaman, dele yaman Yaman, dele yaman Vaksinetsi puştaraf Dele yaman, dele yaman Yaman, dele yaman
Sari Achik by the Gata Band. I hope you enjoyed it. I told you, I can't get it out of my head. I've heard many, many versions of it, and some really cool ones too, cool interpretations of it. Anyway, I will have a link on today's show notes to this song. Actually, you know what? We're going to give you a bigger link to the not only the song, but to the lyrics and a few different interpretations of this song. It's an old folk song, yeah. Goes back. Sari Achik, I hope you enjoyed it. And I'm coming back with some more on today's topic about overcoming that hatred with the power of love. Yes, we are living in a world that is filled with a lot of hatred, and you can't escape that, and I would venture to say that we've always lived in a world where there is a lot of hatred. And I think the goal of all real religion, is to lead us towards peace, understanding, harmony, so that we can live in a world where there is peace, and slowly that hatred can be eliminated. Yeah, it would be great if it could be done quickly. It would be fantastic. Yeah, snap of a finger. And yes, there are people that want to believe that that is possible. You're entitled to any belief you want. But I do know that we need to start changing hearts, and we need to start implementing. We need to start taking an active position in what we believe without fear. I have people who write to me and they tell me that, oh, we're so in tune with what you're saying. Of course, we would never admit it out there. We would never admit it, that we follow what you're saying, you know, because, well, that's kind of controversial. Yeah, it is controversial. Guess what? Jesus Christ was controversial. Jesus Christ was controversial. Get over it. Jesus Christ came and told a group of people that God loves you, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and it is accessible. And people didn't like that, because he opened up the doors to everyone, except for one group of people that he just couldn't tolerate. I would imagine that if they approach it with penance, that Jesus accepts everyone. But there was a group of people that he strongly criticized. No, it wasn't an ethnic minority. He strongly criticized a group. No, it wasn't a group of people who had a different religion. He strongly criticized a group of people known as hypocrites. Hypocrite is a person who says one thing and does another thing. A person who says, I am righteous, but knowing all the time that you can't be righteous. There is only one that's righteous, God alone. We fall short of the mark. And each of us in this world understands ourselves, if we understand ourselves as a flawed individual, that we all have shortcomings, then guess what? We start looking at others and saying, oh yeah, they're shortcoming, but I have a shortcoming too. And then it starts making sense when we ask God's forgiveness. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. Oh, okay. Yeah. We all have shortcomings. We all have to understand one another. We have to live in harmony. We have to live with love. And it begins with each of us accepting this. Now, this is what we've been preaching. This is what we've been talking about. Not because it's me saying these things. This is what the Armenian Orthodox tradition has been preaching from day one. But it takes people to get this message out and stop hindering it with sub-messages that take the place of the main message. And for this, I want to bring up the story of two young sisters. I'm assuming they are young because they hung out with Jesus, who was at least under 33 years old when this happened, right? It says, when they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teachings. Ah, yes, the two sisters, Martha and Mary. Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Okay, so let's picture this. Jesus comes into the town, and Martha says, hey, come over. It's a nice place to hang, and Jesus comes, and Martha starts getting things ready. She's heard about this fantastic teacher who's been walking through the countryside, who's been teaching, who's been offering chances to touch God. She's excited. I would be too. You would be too. And she does what any one of us would have done in the same situation. Yeah, wait, hey, let me set the table. Let me make sure that you're comfortable. Let me make sure that everything is okay. This is what Martha is doing. She's not a bad person. She's just choosing to do the obvious thing. What makes sense. Let me take care of you, Jesus. And but wait, my sister Mary, she's just sitting at your feet. Come on, Jesus, give me a hand over here, okay? Help me out a little bit. Don't you care? Don't you care that my sister's just sitting at your feet while I am bending over backwards to tend to you? And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. Why am I bringing up this story? The sound of one hand clapping. What is that sound? Can you hear it? I'll tell you something. It's very difficult to clap with one hand. It is difficult, right? It's difficult getting this message out. You need Mary's more than Martha's. Martha is like many of us. We see something good. We see something beautiful. We want to serve it. We see the Armenian church. It is beautiful. It is gorgeous. It is, well, it's like this giant, beautiful bridge. It connects this life with eternity, right? It's beautiful. So you get on the bridge and you're looking around and you're saying, wow, look at the suspension. Look at the metal that they've used in this. The rivets. Look at the lighting. It is gorgeous. Then all of a sudden somebody comes and pushes you and says, keep moving. You say, no. I want to look at this bridge. It's beautiful. Yeah, but the bridge has a function. No. I'm going to look at how pretty it is. That's what we do. The Armenian church is so beautiful that we get on board and we say, oh, listen to the music. Gorgeous. I just love the way she sang that hymn. I just love the way the priest chanted. He's got such a beautiful voice. And we have all the peripheral stuff too, right? Have you gone to Our Ladies? You know, Our Ladies are just fantastic because they serve within their homes and they serve at our church kitchen. And you should see the rice that they prepare. They take some real butter and then the vermicelli, they bake it. And the smell of that, the butter all around it, like fills up our entire church. And then they put the rice on top of it and you've got this really good, what we call Armenian pilaf. And our meat, it's like the best portions. And it doesn't matter whether it's lamb, whether it's beef, it could be pork. It's the best portions, but it's the marinade that we use. And so at our church, the men's group, they marinate it and then they barbecue it. And then our little ones, they come up and they sing. They are so cute. And all of a sudden, we've created this environment where we're inviting people to come in and see all of this. See all of the wonders of the Armenian church, except for one. Except for what we've left in the sanctuary. Jesus Christ. Except for the one that can light up the darkness. And so at the end of the day, we've eaten the food. We've downed it. We've enjoyed the beautiful programs, the beautiful songs, the beautiful voices, and we close our eyes in darkness. Because we haven't lit ourselves up. We haven't gotten that light that we need. This is what Martha did wrong. She got consumed by all the wrong things. And Mary sat down at the Lord's feet. What I'm sharing with you in Armadoxy, what I'm sharing with you for these past 11 years is a combination of everything that I've learned for the last 40 years as a priest, as a deacon, and sharing it with communities, doing Bible studies, doing teaching opportunities. And yes, many of the things that I'm saying come to me from sources that I cannot even come close to understanding how they come to me. But I do know that they're real. I know that they are Christ in our midst. Christos imech met haidnetzav. And so all of a sudden we have this opportunity, what the world is looking for, to find peace. And in this small group of people, in this landlocked nation that has absolutely no access, that is not only landlocked, but is surrounded by people of different faith, some of them very hostile. And yet this small group of people, with their churches, with their prayers, have been able to stand up and survive, and beyond survival, have been able to sustain and produce life. Now you tell me, is that a formula for success? Is that a formula that we can offer to the world? Yes, it is. But it requires us to go that next step of doing what Mary does, not being embarrassed to sit at the Lord's feet. That's the difference. We want to consume ourselves with Martha. Martha wasn't embarrassed. Hey, look, I know I make a good meal. I know I make a good meal. And Jesus, you are at my house. I want you to have the best. That's beautiful. It's not what's necessary at the time, right? Listen to what Jesus says. He says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion. And he gives and concludes it, and he says, which shall not be taken away from her. Implying that what we have is very superficial and will be lost. But that true faith is what continues. Now, are we strong enough to stand up? One of the problems is that we're consumed. And this is not just about the food, by the way. We're consumed with all the excesses that have nothing to do. I shared with you a few minutes ago. I can't take another person coming up to me and saying, you know, how come the Armenian church doesn't allow women in the church? Are you going to do something about it? Is this just some kind of conversation for you? See, it's a convenient conversation. There's a whole section of those things. There's a whole section of those kind of questions that get people excited. It's like, you know, if you've ever listened to talk shows, radio talk shows especially, which are the normal AM fare here in America, if you've ever listened to them, there's two topics: death penalty and abortion. If you're ever looking to get an audience, talk about one of these subjects, the death penalty, or talk about abortion. These are hotbed items. People get excited about them, and people are opinionated. And here's the thing, you're not going to solve it by talking about it. Well, we do a really, really good number on these kind of items. We talk about these items and we forget that, you know, there's something underlying them, which is our faith. We get excited by these hot button items. Women in the Armenian church. Why? I know. You look at the pictures and you see a bunch of black hooded men making decisions. Well, are you willing to do something about it? Are you willing to go out on a limb? No. It's just easy to talk about. It's easy to complain about. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay, right? How many of us are willing to take up that cross and willing to make a difference in this world? That's what I've challenged you with on the next step. I've challenged you to take the next step. And there are people. I know we have some very, very sincere prayer warriors on our group that are praying with us, that are in constant correspondence with me and telling me. But it needs that next level to be able to say, yes, we are troopers for Christ. We do believe in what's being taught over here. This is very, very important. Because it's not just about the Armenian church, it's about the world. We are a key. We are that missing puzzle piece that people have overlooked, and we have it. You go to Armenia today and you see that there is a vortex over there. It's a place where there is healing. where there is a Christ-centeredness. But we've forgotten about it because why? We've made it into tourist attractions. And so when a Father Kavaskin comes around and says, hey, I want to lead a pilgrimage, people will sign up and they'll say that, "Are you? Yeah, but we want to stay at that nice hotel. You know, the one that's in the square, the one that gives us maid service twice a day, not just once a day." It's not about the maid service. It's not about any of that. It's about connecting. It's about connecting with something greater than ourselves. And we do have that within Armodoxy. But we fall back and we start asking these nonsensical questions. And I use that term very realistically. Yeah, there was a time I would fight for it. If there is nobody who has fought more for women's rights than I have, I've gone out on a limb. Back in 1983, a year after I was ordained, we had the opportunity to have a woman ordained as a deacon by one of the highest ranking members of the Armenian clergy. It's all out there. It's all in the records. I did go out on a limb last year when I talked about tolerance, about the LGBT community. And yet we have people that come and say to me, not argumentatively, they come and say, what is the Armenian church? Well, what do you care? What are you going to do about that? What's it to you? Are you really, really concerned about it? If you are, you need to take a stance. You need to say something about it. It's got to be more than just a talk and something over cocktails. Right now, Armenian church, yeah, we sound great over cocktails. And we've got a lot to talk about. Got a lot of beauty. We're that beautiful, beautiful bridge that you could stand on, you could look at, you could admire, and forget that it has a purpose to connect us with all of eternity. Yes, many times I do feel that, you know, it's a small hand, it's one hand clapping. And I know there's many of you that are the other hand, that are clapping with me. I appreciate that. So let me say it in a different way, the way we started off today's show. Have you ever lit a candle inside a completely dark room? There is always enough darkness for you to light a second candle. There is always enough darkness for you to light a third candle. There is always enough darkness for you to light the candle, for you to be that light. Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. And so great is that light that he transforms us into the living witness to that light by saying, you are the light of the world. Take that light and shine it in the world. Shine it. It's the goodness that needs to be shined in the world. Let's get our minds off of this, all this other excess stuff that we've cluttered ourselves with. Worrying about what does the church believe, what doesn't. You don't care. You know what? There was philosophers who used to engage in these philosophical arguments. How many angels could fit on the head of a pin? Well, the idea is that angels do not have a physical body. They are complete spiritual beings. So the head of a pin being this very small, small unit, measurable unit. So how many angels can fit on there? Well, maybe about 1,000 of them, right? Maybe about 10,000. Well, wait a minute. There is no form, so it could be an infinite number of them. And let's argue, because you know what? Infinite would mean that there's an infinite number of angels, and angels have to have... Forget it, folks! You don't need to go through all that. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. I am the light of the world, and you reflect that light. You are the light of the world. Share it. Don't get involved in all of the excess trappings that take you away. That take you away from what the central focus needs to be. And if we can focus in on that, then yes, we will be clapping together. We will be clapping and we will be making some noise. The noise of tolerance, the noise of justice, the noise of love, the noise of eradicating hatred and evil. It's the one simple message that Father Voskin has been sharing with you for the past 11 years through Next Step, for the last 40 years through his ministry. It's the one simple message that Jesus Christ came and brought to this world 2,000 years ago. And guess what? It's the one simple message with which the entire thing began. The power of love. from the very beginning. And that's why St. John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now let's fly with it. Let's move with it. Let's get off of that whole craze of doing the Martha thing and go with the Mary and saying, wow, I get it. I need to be that instrument of peace here in this world.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you to all of you. Despite everything that I said, I know you're out there, and I know you're praying for us, and you're part of this ministry because we're part of your life. And so thank you very much. I can't express to you enough how your support, how your prayers touch us. And sometimes it does get frustrating. I shared some of that frustration with you today. It's a frustration we feel because we're human, because we have doubts. And yes, we feel alone. We feel very alone. And then it's the God force that touches us. And we realize, no, we are not alone, because with God, the majority's with you. You're part of the majority. You can't be a minority when you got God on your side, right? And that gives us the strength to move forward. And I don't know where we're headed in the next several years, in the next several months, several days. The world is really turning out to some very, very monstrous ideologies and events that are truly, truly tragic and rock us all. We need to be vigilant and need to be the light of the world. Let me leave it at that. This week, what do we got this week? Oh, this Sunday, it's a good one. By the way, Saturday I'm going to be at the St. James event here in Los Angeles. I'm emceeing the St. James Los Angeles 75th anniversary. This is one of the oldest churches here in America, especially here on the West Coast. And I hope to have, today I was going to share with you so many different things. My note page is filled up, but that's okay. We're going to fill it up and you be with us and we'll fill it up in the next few weeks for sure. But St. James, one of the oldest parishes here in America, and I'm honored to be the MC for their event. It's going to be coming up this Saturday the 10th. But this Sunday, there's a program called Gomidas, and this is with all dance. If you happen to be in the Glendale, La Cañada, in the Los Angeles area, I highly recommend it. This is one of those events that, you're going to hear about and you're going to say, I wish I was there. It's dedicated to Gomidas. It's done in music. It's done in dance. I will have a link on today's show notes. It is Sunday night, the 11th, November 11th. I personally have a few tickets that if you're interested in the price, let's see, what are they? They're $30 a piece. We have one of the directors of the show, one of the producers of the show, came to our Bible study last week, and we had an opportunity to share some thoughts about Gomidas, and she had some tickets, and I said, you know what? I got to get some of those too, because I know people will be asking me. So I personally took possession of, I think, well, there's only 15 left from what I had. And so if you're interested in them, you know, I think the best way would be just drop me a note, feedback@epostle.net. In the subject line, put Comidas, and we'll make sure that we can get some tickets out your way. Yes, the cost is $30, and you have to be in the Los Angeles Glendale, La Cañada area, La Cañada, Flint Ridge area, Sunday evening, the 11th at 7 p.m. Okay, I am going to wrap it up for right now. Thank you for joining us today. I hope it wasn't too frustrating for you, because I shared my frustration with you. Oh, you tell me that we're partners, right? Okay, well, we're partnering along, okay? There you go. We made it work. All right, listen, we'll be back next week with some more stuff I want to share with you. There's a lot of things that we're going to talk about, and I'd love to hear from you about what we talked about today. I would love to hear from you. Please drop me a note at feedback@epostle.net. Epostle is very easy to remember. It's apostle with an E. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, listen, we're at all the usual outlets, all the usual social media outlets. Drop us a line here or there. Follow what we're doing. Look at my big blog, Armodoxy, that's becoming more and more populated and more popular. It's armodoxy@blogspot.com, I believe, or just Armodoxy. Anyway, all of these things have links. One touches the other. The mothership is inhisshoes.org. Speaking of In His Shoes, we're launching our Christmas programs, and one of the keystone programs that we do have is the Toy Drive, which help children of domestic violence and in shelters, and primarily in the Los Angeles area, where we have such a need for these toys for these beautiful, beautiful kids. If you are interested in donating, hey, guess what? You don't need to be in Los Angeles. You can do it thanks to the Amazon. Yes, you can order via Amazon and have it delivered, part of the In His Shoes toy drive for this year. And of course, there'll be more coming out. Do check out our show notes. There'll be links to everything we talked about and a few other things probably in there too. Hey, listen, big shout out to my dear sister Anush. And I want to thank you all for joining us today. On behalf of our producer, Susie Ken, our engineer, this is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.